Jerusalem, I want you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 12. John 12 and verses 12 through 16 is where we will find our scripture reading today. John chapter 12, verses 12 through 16. On the next day, many people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, "Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that comes in the name of the Lord." And Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat thereon as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold your king comes, sitting on a donkey's colt." Verse 16, "These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written of him and that they had done these things unto him." Thus ends the reading of God's word. You may be seated. Father, we ask that you bless us now. Help us to prepare, and not only prepare, but deliver what you've laid upon our hearts. And God, I pray that you'd bless the people to be good listeners, but more than that, to be doers of your word. Sanctify us, Lord, for thy truth, as only you can do. And Lord, move upon our hearts mightily by the power of your spirit. We ask in the name of Jesus and for his sake. And all the people of God said, amen. I want to just share a thought today. And it's in regards to the disciples as they found themselves witnessing something. Verse 16 is really where we gather this thought. "These things the disciples did not understand at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written of him and that they had done these things unto him." From that verse, I want to leave a thought with you. Lord, help me remember. Say that with me. Lord, help me remember. Sometimes we're just forgetful. And that's okay. It's all right if you forget minor things. Some things I would suggest that you would forget about. Forget about your past failures. Forget about the faults and what people have done to you. Forget about that. That's okay for you to forget about that. It's okay to forget about the problems in the world. Not that you wouldn't need to respond, but you can't let those things get you down. After all, if you're worried about yesterday, guess what? Yesterday is never going to happen again. Paul said in Philippians, "Forgetting those things which are what? Behind me. And reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." It's going to be very hard for you to drive forward while you're looking in your rearview mirror. You got to forget those things. But then there's some things that you don't want to forget about. You don't want to forget God's plan for your life. My life, I don't want to forget about that. I want that to be my focus of attention, because I know that it is only God and his plan that has got me to where I am now. It's not my skill nor your abilities, but it is the power of God that got you to this place where you are in life. Some of us would say we came through hard trials and tribulation, but thank God we made it. Anybody got a praise today? Look at somebody, tell them, thank God I made it. You are here today. You are in this place God brought you this far. You may have some issues going on in your life, but you're still alive. And because you're alive, you've got a chance. You've got an opportunity. More importantly, you've got God to strengthen you. It's good to remember some things. It's good to remember God's plan, but it's good to remember God's goodness. God has been good to you, better to you than you have been to yourself. It is good to remember how good the Lord is. What we must understand, though, we often forget things because we are dealing with other issues, trying to adjust to other things that are going on around us, so caught up in our environment and in our climate that we forget about the things that are most important. The scripture clearly states the disciples, they did not understand what was going on with Jesus. Here's the crowd. Here are the people worshiping him. And they did not understand because they did not remember these things were written of him. They forgot all about it. The thought of it just took flight from their mind. All of us are forgetful. I can recall several times I've left out of my driveway from my home. Got behind the wheel, turned the ignition on, moved out into the highway, and forgot where I was going. Is that a senior issue, or some of our younger ones have to deal with that? Jalen is looking at me saying, I don't have to worry about that. I'm young. Don't worry, son. Keep living. For months, Jesus had warned the disciples. He had warned his followers, we're going up to Jerusalem. We're going to ascend up to Jerusalem. And I want you to know the events that will take place. Zechariah had already prophesied hundreds of years earlier that the king would come into Jerusalem, not on a mighty steed, not on a stallion, but he would come on a donkey, lowly, not representing war, but representing peace, because he came to bring peace to all of our hearts. And Jesus said, let me clarify something. They're going to greet me, but I want you to know that everything is not going to go along as smoothly as you think it is. They will arrest me. They will persecute me. And they're going to hang me on a cross. But don't worry about it. 3 days later. Everybody said 3 days later. I will rise. Jesus had told them. But like us, they forgot. Like us, they didn't really take it to heart. These were the same disciples that watched Jesus work miracles. A little bit earlier, Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. And even on that very same week, Jesus had opened the eyes of a blind man, but somehow they could not connect. And if you can't connect, you cannot understand. When there's a delay in understanding, a person can find themselves going through the motion, but not grasping the impact. You're just going through things, but not really connecting what it means. A lot of young people, they'll sit in the classroom, they'll learn the facts, but they can't really apply it. Oh, just wait till you get your first job. As the old folks say, you will understand it better by and by. You will know why you're getting educated. You will know and understand why you have to apply certain basic things as to what you do and when you do it. Now, I told you, I grew up in the old school. I grew up where the teachers, they taught you more than math and reading and science. They would teach you how to sit up in a chair, how to walk upright. And they had this thing called hygiene. It was even on our report card. They would check your ears to see if they were clean. Come on, any old folk in here? Yeah, they got in your business because they cared about you and they cared about your future. Somehow or another, we forget the impact of something. And because we forget the impact, we don't really apply what we need. This brings us to our generation that we're living in right now. There are a lot of people all across the world celebrating Palm Sunday. 6 days before Jesus went to the cross, he came into Jerusalem, and a lot of people say, go Jesus! But do you know and do you recognize the impact? And before you answer yes, before you say shame on those disciples, look at us. How many times has the Holy Spirit prompted your heart to either do something or don't do anything, and yet we turned a deaf ear? Can you remember? Can you remember all the times the Lord has brought you through your struggles and through your trials, and God kept you safe from all harm? Can you remember? Can you remember the times that you walked the floor at night and God whispered to you, everything's going to be all right, and so you went back to sleep? Can you remember? Can you remember this morning when you knew that you couldn't get up on your own and the God that we serve lifted you up, allowed you to see another day? Can you remember? We must remember. We must reflect. What happened? Could it be that the disciples were simply downplaying the presence of Jesus? Could it be to the fact that they didn't recognize that the one who was in the flesh also was mighty God, the incarnate Christ, Emmanuel, God with us? So often we can get so used to God. Come to church, we can raise our hand, we can sing our favorite song, clap our hands, shout hallelujah a couple of times, and think that's it. But look at somebody and say, you don't know like I know what God can do. Look at somebody else, tell them, it is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do the same for you. They had seen God. They had witnessed him. They looked at him. They watched him open the blind eyes. They watched him raise Lazarus from the dead. They knew that, and yet somehow when he rode into Jerusalem, they forgot. And because they forgot, they did not understand. They downplayed the significance of who it was and what he was doing. I'm here to tell you that he is God Almighty and he's omnipotent. And that means that not only is God more powerful than any other being, but every other being has to depend on God for their power. Let me say that again. The omnipotence of God not only means that he has all power, but every other being must depend on God for their power. Even those that have the nerve to shake their fists at God and say, I don't believe, they had to use God's breath to do it. They had to have his strength in order to even stand up and defy him. What a mighty God and merciful God we serve. Not only does God have all strength, but he is eternal. He is omniscient. He knows everything. And that means that God has always been in existence, and he'll never grow old. You didn't vote for God, therefore you can't put him out of power. Are y'all still here? Nobody appointed him. That means they can't remove him. As a matter of fact, the very earth that folk walk upon, he said, I own it. I got the deed to it. This is the God that we're talking about, and yet we treat him as ordinary. They treated Jesus as if he was ordinary. When they first met him, oh, he's the Son of God. He's the King. He's the Lord. But then it kind of got to the place when Jesus showed up. Oh, Jesus, yeah, how you doing? You're going to take a seat right over there. We get so used to God that we forget that even though he was in the flesh, he was not flesh only. Let me say that again. That was kind of one of those Selah moments. He was in the flesh, but he was not flesh only. Yeah, he would bleed like anybody else, but then he would get up from bleeding and say, you know, I forgive all sins. This is the man that he got hungry, but when the multitude got hungry, he fed them. 5 loaves and 2 fish. Can I get a witness in here? I'm talking about God, but they had downplayed it. How many times have you downplayed God in your own life? Well, I don't know whether God's going to do that or not. you ought to at least say he can. I don't know whether God is going to show me this kindness. Well, he's been good to you so far. Look at somebody, tell him, so far, so good. That's just God. Don't downplay his power. But then the issue that we're dealing with is the forgetfulness of man. How we forget the mighty miracles. How we forget what Jesus told us. If he said, lo, I'm with you always, you don't need to be saying in the middle of a problem, where is God? He said, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Bible is clear when it says these things they did not understand. His disciples did not understand at first. At first. They didn't understand when they got the donkey and the folks didn't give them any argument. They let him go. They didn't understand that. They didn't understand when they took their garments and put it on the donkey and Jesus got them. They didn't understand who he was and what he was doing. They didn't understand. Just like many of us, we don't understand. I don't understand everything God is doing, but that means I believe him. I trust him. Look at what the scripture says in verse number 16. But when Jesus was glorified, everybody say, but. When Jesus was glorified, I'm going to get you to talk back with me now. I'm going to get you to talk back now. Then they remembered that these things were written of him and that they had done these things to him. Look at somebody and tell them, later is not best, but later is better than never. Look at somebody else, tell them, later is not best, but later is better than never. Y'all think about that for a minute. You won't get it after a while. Later is not best, but it's better than never. Sometimes God has a delay. There's a delay. By the way, that's what a promise is based on. A promise is based on a delay. You don't need to make a promise if you're going to deliver right now. In business, you'll tell someone, we will ship the goods on a certain day, and then you have what's known as a covenant agreement. And sometimes you got to pay up front before they deliver, but they've got a covenant and a contract with you. On that day, you're going to get your goods. God made you a promise, but there's often a delay that also works with our mind. We can't recall something until later. And this later that it's talking about here is when Jesus was glorified. The issue also that we want to confront today is that some people never get it. They never get it. The Bible says that when they knew God, knew it was God, what really gets under my skin, what really bothers me is that some of these same folks 6 days earlier, coming into Jerusalem, oh, Jesus, we love you. Hosanna to the highest. Praise God. Blessed is our king. But when the king didn't do what they wanted, I wish I had a witness here. When the king didn't meet all of their demands, that's when folks had a problem. They knew who he was. Are y'all here? But when they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful. I've never seen so many unthankful people in my lifetime. Even when I was a sinner out there in the world, drinking my Ripple, doing the things of the world, I had sense enough to bow my head and thank God for food that I was about to receive. You got people, they don't thank anybody for anything. As a matter of fact, they feel that God owes them something. Oh, can I get a witness here? Romans 1:21 says they became vain in their imagination and their foolish heart was turned to darkness. When they knew God, They didn't glorify him as God. Y'all wait till next Sunday. Man, I'm telling you, I want to summon y'all here on next Sunday because you need to figure out who really killed Jesus. And the verdict is going to surprise you. The verdict is going to be something you said, preacher, I didn't know it, but I know it now. Y'all wait till next Sunday, though. But right now, we got to get past our misunderstanding. So where are we, preacher? We said to you that people forget. They're forgetful. They have reasons for it. They downplay God's work, or they forget the goodness of the Lord. But then some outright reject God. And the Bible has the classification for them that it says they are fools. The fool has said in his heart that there is no God. Psalm 14 and verse 1. But let's get past this misunderstanding. Then we're going to close this message today. There are some things that you and I need to really come to grips with. And I need to talk to you about this. Because a lot of us, we think that God is our divine butler. You know, he stands there with the towel ready to clean up your mess, ready to serve you. And then sometimes on Sunday, we might give him praise. We might not. Thank you, Jesus. Most time in church, we fold our arm. Come on, am I talking to somebody? God is not your butler. He is your Lord, and he is your God. He owes you nothing, but he gives you everything if you ask according to his will. Come on, talk to him. Talk. When you ask him, when you say, Lord, I don't have anybody else I can depend on but you, won't he make a way out of no way? There's a misunderstanding. We just have a misunderstanding. You got to remember that he's the Lord and I'm the servant. I know I'm his child, but down here he's given me certain things to do and I got to serve him. Wave your hand if you want to serve him. Those of you online, wave your hand if you want to serve him. Amen. Ain't nobody but you in the house. That's all right. You can have church all by yourself. The crowd didn't understand him. The disciples didn't understand it. Sometimes we don't understand it. We'll pull out our Bible when we got a problem, and just like somebody getting a genie, we go in our Bible, and poof comes this genie. Okay, now I'm going to ask what I want. God is not a genie in the Bible. He's Almighty God, and you got to honor him. Your opening prayer statement should say, hallowed be thy name. In other words, God, you're the greatest thing that ever exists. You're Almighty God. We just got a misunderstanding. You just got a misunderstanding. When you humble yourself, and I've seen church folk get proud. I'm serving the Lord a long time. Well, who gave you strength to serve him? Oh, I know too much about it. You don't know too much about it. Evidently, you don't know enough about it. Come on, talk, Coleman, talk. And then we want God. This is just a misunderstanding. Look at somebody say, it's just a misunderstanding. Not only is God a genie in the Bible sometime, a divine butler, but, you know, we got this time clock issue. All the images, all of the scripture references that I've seen about Jesus, he doesn't wear a watch. And your grandma had better theology than sometimes we do. We want a microwave, God. Put it in the microwave. Put in this 10-second prayer, and out comes our blessing. How many of y'all know stuff getting messed up in the microwave? And some things you can't even put in the microwave. Hallelujah, Jesus. Preach. And you're worried about getting it right now. Instant blessing. Instant everything. Your grandma had better theology than you do. Some of them couldn't even read. But they knew better. They knew that sometimes you got to wait on the Lord. Do I have any witnesses here? You got to wait on him. Yeah, you online. I'm talking to you too. You got to wait on him. Your grandma had better theology than you did. She would say, he may not come when I want him. Come on, y'all finish it. You finish it. Always on time. That's what I'm talking about. So once we've cleared up the misconceptions, then we can deal with the fact, Lord, show me what I need to know. Tell me what I need to know so that I might live it out. And the answer is, when Jesus was glorified. I want you to leave out of here today reflecting on the glorified Christ, because you will not get it until he's glorified. So the question is, when was he glorified? When did Jesus reach this state of existence? We know he had a temporary glorification when he met with three of his disciples on the mountaintop. We know that Jesus was glorified. The scripture says it. They were on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John went with him, but they didn't know how to deal with it. They didn't know what it meant. They said, Lord, let's build some tabernacles here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, and we're just going to have a good time in the Lord. We're going to go to church today. We're going to lift our hand. We're going to shout hallelujah. We're going to do our holy dance, and we're just going to have a good time in the Lord. And then you walk out, and you're back to normal. Help me preach now. Say this question with me. When was Jesus glorified? Well, until we bear witness to the glorified Christ, we can't really know who he really is. He taught in the temple. And even though Jesus was teaching in the temple that he was the living bread, that he was the water of life, the people didn't understand it, so he was not glorified. Was Jesus glorified when they arrested him in the Garden of Gethsemane? No. No. Judas betrayed him. The disciples forsook him. But Jesus was not glorified at that time. He was not glorified. When was Jesus glorified? Was it when they whipped him all night long and they led him from judgment hall to judgment hall? No, he was not glorified. That was so the scripture of Isaiah might be fulfilled, where Jesus was led as a lamb to the slaughter. He didn't open his mouth, but he was not glorified. He was not glorified. He did not reach that state of glorification. And even in those whippings that they put upon him, he was not glorified. But the stripes were laid upon his back so that with those same stripes that Jesus had upon his back, you could be healed. He was not glorified. He was not glorified. And some would argue, was he glorified when they led him away to Calvary and he took the cross upon his shoulder? Jesus was not glorified at that point. But the Bible does say in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he that knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Are you in the scripture yet? Did you hear what it said? That we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. In other words, he became your sin. He became my sin. He took on the sins of the entire world, but Jesus was not glorified at that time. You say, preacher, when was he glorified? Was Jesus glorified while he was on the cross? He cried out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Was he glorified? Was he glorified when a thief asked him, Lord, remember me? And Jesus looked at him and said, today you'll be with me in paradise. He was still who he was, but he was not glorified. He was not glorified when they took him down from the cross. And they pierced him in his side. They pierced him in his side, took him down from the cross, laid him in a tomb. He was not glorified at that time. The Bible tells us clearly when he was glorified, because there was something going on in glory. Psalm 24, beginning with verse 7, it tells us when Jesus was glorified. There was an echo, a voice that said in heaven, lift up your heads, O ye gates, be ye lifted up, you eternal doors. And the question was, who is this King of glory? Who is the King of glory? Everybody was wondering. And while on earth, Jesus got up from the grave and said, they must be calling me. He was the only rightful Lord. He was the only rightful ruler. When Jesus rose from the grave, but that's next Sunday's sermon. I can't tell you too much about it. But Psalm 24 goes on to say, they ask the question the second time. Lift up your heads, all ye gates, be ye lifted up, ye eternal doors, and the King of glory shall come in. And the question was, who is this King of glory? In other words, make no mistake about it. That King of glory is not Buddha. That King of glory is not Muhammad. I ain't got nothing against those folk. But all I know is if you're looking for the King of glory in them, you ain't gonna find it. Come on, talk back to me up in here. There's only one King of glory, the one that cried out from the cross, the one who rose again, and then he ascended up into glory, sat down at the right hand of power, and said, I am the one that God appointed. He is the King of glory. But I want to ask you a question. I know he's the King of glory in glory. But I close today by asking, is he the King of glory in your life? If he's not the King of glory in your life, Palm Sunday don't mean a thing to you. Easter Sunday ain't gonna mean a thing to you. You just going through a holiday, but you ain't having a holy day. Whole lot of folk think, if I just go to church on Easter, if I just go to church on Christmas, if I go on Thanksgiving, I'm all right. No, you got to know the King of glory. You got to know that this is the same one that walked on the water. This is the same one that calmed the raging sea. This is the same Jesus that caught a cloud and went back up to heaven. He is the King of glory. Now, I don't know about you. I can't see all the way to heaven. I can't get out of here and look up in the sky and say, oh, yeah, I see him. But what I can do, I can look within my heart and know that one day I asked Jesus to come in. One day I asked him to reign in my life because I didn't know where I was going and didn't know how I was going to get there. But thank God, the King of glory, the same one that rode on a donkey into Jerusalem, rode up in my heart. Amen. As the young folks say, he rode up in there. Amen. And he became Lord of my life. And I'm here to tell you, amen, I don't have everything, can't do everything, but I got Jesus. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. Anybody, don't just give me a pat of cake. Lift your hand if you got him. Say, preacher, I got him. I know him. He brought me this far. Gonna lead me every step of the way. Is he your king? Is he your ruler? Is he your Lord? Thank God. I didn't understand it at first, but I know it now. People say we understand it better by and by. Thank God the by and by got there. I know him as my Lord and as my Savior. You're going to walk out of here today. In a few minutes, you're going to walk out of here. Some of you that are online, you're going to sign off. You can say, oh, yeah, that was a good service today. I was preaching a good sermon. But it's not about the service. It's not about the sermon. It's about you and your relationship with Christ. You got to accept him. You got to know him for yourself. He's got to reign within you and be real. I'm here to tell you, he is real. He is real and he's mighty. Can y'all just say he's mighty good? So I invite you to come and meet the King of glory. Meet the King of kings and Lord of lords. If you're in here today and you've never met him, today is a good day. Maybe you're acquainted with church. Maybe you know all the church stuff. You know how to rise, sit down. You know how to say amen. You know how to do all the other stuff, but you don't know the King of glory. Today's the day. Pray with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for being the King. But I thank you more importantly for being my King, for coming all the way down through 42 generations just to show me to the way of life, and that life is in you. I humble my heart, I open my mind, and Lord, I want to listen as you tell me about who you are and what you can do in my life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me from my sin. Thank you for raising me as a new creature in Christ. I pray you'd bless now as only you can do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The invitation is given. If you've not opened your heart to the Lord, the invitation is given. As we close the service, certainly we thank God for just blessing and moving in a mighty way. And we invite you to write us if you're online. If you're in here and you want to come down, we invite you to come down that we can pray with you and help you to get it straight with the Lord. Amen? Let's all stand. Amen. There are some things, put your hands together, I may not know. Oh, there are some places I can't go. But I am sure, oh, yes, I am, of this one thing. Oh, yes, God is real, for I can feel Him deep within. Oh, yes, God is real. Come on, give your testimony. He's real in my soul. Oh, yes, God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. Oh, yeah, His love for me is just like pure gold. Oh, yes, God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. Oh, yes, God is real. He's real in my soul. Oh, yes, God is real.
For I can feel
He's washed
and made me whole.
Oh, His love for me is just like pure gold. Oh, yes, God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen.
Yes, God is real. You've got to believe it for yourself. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus.